our in-studio audience. Thank you. Yeah. Well, good evening, Arlington. This is the Killer Frogs podcast. We're actually on episode 157. Can you believe that? 157 of these things? Tonight, we're back here again live in South Arlington. And my name is Sean Fouché. And with me, as always, we've got the boss, Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hi, Sean. Good to see you in person, not on the phone.
In person, not on the phone. I'm not a frozen popsicle. We also have TCU Hall of Famer W.C. Nix. Hey, Dever.
Good to be out here. Woo.
Yes. It's really nice. And we have a special guest today, and it's TCU Women's Soccer Assistant Coach Tom Ceratori. Tom, thank you.
Thank you. I don't know about special, but I am here, so
thank you. Yeah, oh, well, absolutely special. You guys are one of the best teams at TCU right now. And when it comes to soccer, you're the only soccer team I care about.
Well, that's a good start. I do appreciate that.
Yes. So,
everyone's doing great at TCU right now, that is for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's really nice. So we're going to do, and of course, real quick, let me give a shout out to our hosts tonight. We're back here at Grounds and Gold. You guys may have remembered back when we had our baseball special, Maurice Ahern, who is the father of everybody's favorite TCU superhero, Micah Ahern, has this fantastic coffee shop here in South Arlington. If you've never been here, it's off of I-20 and Bowen. I can't miss it, but if you're in the area, please swing by. This place is amazing, and we'll talk about it a little bit more later on. But to get started, Ryan, take us through some of the news.
All right. Well, the first thing I want to start off with is it is my dad, Jerry Zeller's 79th birthday tonight.
79.
And so we're going to celebrate this Friday. We're going to go to the original in Fort Worth and have our Mexican dinner. He always orders the Roosevelt, so I'm looking forward to doing that. All right, so last week was a great weekend for TCU sports. I'm going to start off with baseball. They had a sweep, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that later because WC and I were at the games this weekend. And
anytime you sweep Baylor.
Yeah. Well, it's a
good start of the season at that point.
And
right?
I mean, it just won three wins. It was we're going to talk about that later. It was
Can we
amazing.
Say butt whooping?
It was. It was. It actually was. So much fun. You hate to jinx it, especially with baseball, but I mean, that was awesome. All right. So, sand volleyball is coming off of three ranked wins to be now their record is 17-4. If you've never been to a sand volleyball game, I need to look. I know they just played at TCU, and they only get to play like one tournament a season on campus. But, oh, my
Very
gosh.
Very weird rules.
It is weird, yeah. And they travel to so many cool places. So if you ever have the opportunity to go to a sand volleyball tournament, do it. It is super, super fun. You can take your dogs. You're outside and just sit in your chairs and have a good time. Equestrian, got a great equestrian team. That's a little bit of a tongue twister. They defeated number 5 Fresno State to reach the Big 12 finals. So definitely look them up on the Riff-Ram app to read a little bit more about how they're doing this year. Men's tennis is always fun to watch, right? And they won at Stanford. So that's exciting. And then volleyball, regular volleyball, the one we're all used to. They swept OU in Norman this weekend.
So
that's
love
really,
that.
I mean, that's super exciting. Yep. You forget that they're even playing right now because typically they play in the fall, but they're continuing their season right now. So definitely stay up with them. Now, this was interesting. So for track, Ronnie, I don't know how to say his last name, but Bacchio, I think. He is apparently the fastest man alive, like the fastest man alive, not in Texas, not TCU, not the U.S.,
in
alive.
The world.
In the world for the 100 meter. Just let that sink in for a second. Fastest man alive in the 100 meter. And we've got him right here in Fort Worth at TCU. All right, so now on to soccer. They did win their opening game. And they are playing actually this Saturday, April 3rd against OSU here in Fort Worth. We'll talk a little bit more about what the stands are going to look like, unfortunately. But we're going to figure out a way to watch them from, I've heard there's some sneaky ways you can watch through a fence or something maybe if you want.
People have found ways.
We're going to find a way. We're going to find a way.
You got to give us the inside scoop here. Have you scouted out any specific areas around?
Well, if you were at the game against West Virginia, you know the places right outside the fence. If you're a baseball fan, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to turn this back on over to Sean.
So definitely let's talk about soccer. I was taken off my game by an alarm. I'm sorry about that. So Tom, talk to us a little bit about how have things changed. Just to start off with, let's kind of get the COVID talk out of the way. But how have things changed, and what sort of changes will we see throughout the season in terms of soccer?
Yeah, it's been an interesting year when you talk about the changes with soccer, right? So normally we just play all of our games in the fall. You have, you know, non-conference, conference, Big 12 tournament, NCAA tournament, right? And that obviously all changed this year with COVID. So in the fall, we just played our Big 12 games, won the Big 12 championship, which was awesome. And then so what happens now is a continuation this spring. We just continue to play. And so right now we're just playing, they all consider non-conference games, even though we're playing Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. And it just adds on to our record. So after this past weekend, we're 9-0-1. So still super excited about that. And currently ranked fourth in the country. So we're... Yep,
big deal.
So, but now the goal is to look forward to each. We have three games left. We have Oklahoma State, Texas A&M, and Notre Dame. And then from there, we're going to go into the NCAA tournament. We already have the at-large bid, so we know we're in. And so we're just looking to, you know, work for seeding and see where it goes. As of recent, they just announced that the tournament is going to be a bubble in North Carolina. So kind of getting prepared with that. So unfortunately, we won't be hosting games like we thought we could have been. But we're still excited to actually have a tournament.
When it comes to the bubble, though, I mean, y'all are pretty experienced with this. Because if I remember correctly, you are one of the few teams at TCU that had a pretty strict bubble already in place when COVID all hit, right?
Yeah, when COVID hit, I think you have to put a lot of credit on the coaching staff and our athletic trainer, Tricia Jamison. She went ahead and told us these were all the protocols we needed to follow, how to do it. And the girls, you know, they decided to come together and say, hey, this is how we want to do it. This is how we want our season to go. And we didn't have one single COVID case the entire time, which was, you know, it allowed us to have the season that we had. And we're super proud of the girls. They had to give up a lot for that to happen. You know, there's a lot of things you do as a student athlete, as a college, you know, student. And they gave up a lot of those things to be able to create the season they did. And so, it was big time. It was really big time.
Yeah, it really paid off, too.
Well, talk about creating all that. It also led to a lot of honors. So can you kind of work us through what happened and who won what and stuff like that? Because I was kind of reading up on it. It's a pretty impressive list.
Yeah, it was a big day for TCU across the board. I think there was a couple wins that day as well. But, you know, we obviously won the Big 12 championship. But then with that, we had some individual success. You start at the top with Coach Eric Bell. He got Coach of the Year. Our goalkeeper, Emily Alvarado, got Goalkeeper of the Year. Grace Collins got Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year. And then Mars Atkins got the Freshman of the Year. So almost a full sweep of the awards, which was awesome. You know, I like to think we had a couple players that could have got the Defensive Player of the Year, but that's okay. They're just going to continue to prove themselves throughout the rest of the season.
And so now the goalkeeper, you think she's one of the best, not the best in the country, right?
Oh, yeah, hands down. Emily Alvarado is one of the best.
Who is the coach, right?
Who's the coach for the goalkeeper?
Gosh, who is that guy? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So I do get to work with the goalkeepers, and Emily is one of the best goalkeepers in the country, hands down. She has had a few starts with the full Mexican national team, so a lot of experience. And, you know, I was just lucky enough to be here when she's here at the same time. So I'll take that.
So it's a lucky coincidence.
It was a good coincidence, yeah. Yes, and I'll
it's
take
something
it.
Something to put on the resume.
Well.
To keep on the resume.
I will. Me and Emily, I think we have a nice mutual relationship in terms of who we're helping each other out and making sure we're keeping each other in the best of our games.
Speaking of resumes, how did you find TCU? How did they find you, them? How did you get down here?
Yeah, so the way I got to TCU was it was a path, for sure. It was a little bit of a path. It started, I went to school at Valparaiso University. Some people might know them of the shot when they beat Ole Miss in the tournament from Bryce Drew. It's on like every NCAA commercial ever. So that's where I was. Graduated, and about a week later moved across the country to the University of Oregon to be a volunteer assistant coach. So, you know, what does any parent want for their child after they graduate college is to move across the country and get paid no money. So they were thrilled for that.
Sounds about right.
So it was good, but it was a really good experience to be at the University of Oregon, you know, big time college. I was there for 1 year as a volunteer, asked me to stay for another year after that. So got my MBA over the next two seasons, working while I was going to school.
So you were making a little bit of money per kind of, you
I
know.
I guess you could.
You weren't
you
incurring debt,
that.
At least.
Correct.
As a grad assistant, it's a little bit of money.
Yes, just a little bit. Right?
Heavy on the little bit.
Heavy on the little bit. Heavy on the ramen and frozen and frozen veggies for dinner. But during that last month, I found a job at TCU and just found on the NCAA website and reached out. And the SWA at Oregon knew Eric from their time at other places and kind of set up the connection and interviewed, got the job. And for the last month, I was flying back and forth between Oregon and TCU to finish school, start the job, find somewhere to live, you know, figured all that out. And I've been rolling along ever since, was that May of 18? So we're approaching 3 year anniversary here. So it's been some good years. And, you know, I've learned to grow to love purple. That's been a new thing. Now I wear it all of the time, like every
color of royalty.
Color of royalty, purple. That's what they say. That's
better than green.
That it is.
I'm just going to.
Better than orange. I name a lot of colors.
Well, I was just making an Oregon connection there. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure everyone up here would say purple's the best color. We don't even have to debate it anymore.
No,
so I think
no
we're
doubt.
Good to go. But so now I've been here for almost 3 years, and it's been a blast to be a part of the NCAA tournament, winning a Big 12, and hopefully we're moving on to you know, more stages, making a run here in the tournament coming up here in April and May.
So let's talk about the tournament for a moment. So you have the at-large bid at this point. And how is the team viewing the games between now and then? Are they viewing this as an opportunity, or are they? I mean, I know you guys have to try to keep their focus on the here and now, and not let's just think about the tournament. So, what are you guys doing as a team to try to stay focused through these games?
Well, that's a really good question. I think it's a really interesting situation that you normally don't have to deal with. You don't normally have to go from winning a championship to continuing on, you know, in this big gap, you know, so it was almost a restart of, we had preseason again in a way, and we're playing these games. And what we've always talked about is when there's a game to be played, there's a game to be won. We want to try and win every game no matter what. And sure, are we using this to prepare for the tournament and be ready to play all these other teams? 100%. But I think we have built in our culture that we're trying to win at everything that we do. So we're still trying to win every game because it matters. And it still matters for the seeding purposes in a tournament. That's just not guaranteed. So we still want that to happen. And quite frankly, we still want to beat teams in our region. We want to be known as the best team down here and one of the best teams in the country. So I think the girls understand that. I think they want to continue to be the best team around. And I think that adds the carrot at the end of the stick when it's been a long road to get towards this NCAA tournament.
Yeah, especially this season.
100. It has been a very, very long time, and it's, you know, a lot has gone into it, and there's a lot of people to thank and look to. But we'll start with the girls and keep the focus on them.
Yeah,
I got a question. Just on timing, since the season now has been divided into two, of when do your athletes typically in a normal season you want them to peak at a certain time? Is it like that for soccer? I don't know as much about soccer as, like, you know, baseball, where you start off slow. That's kind of okay because you want to peak at the end of the season.
Yeah, you're
so. How in the world did you time it?
Yeah, well, we have a natural sports scientist over here, so you know exactly what you're talking about. You want to get that peak at the right time. You know, actually, we do a lot of sports science. So the girls wear GPS, so they're tracking how far they're running. They wear their heart rate monitors, and we have a sports scientist and strength conditioning coach who's really looking at everything.
Wait, during the game?
During the game, live.
Wow.
It's happening.
I didn't know that. Wow.
We know exactly what's going on, and we do it at every practice as well, so we know.
So, wait, I got a question.
Okay, pause.
Do any of the players try to make, like, little pitchers on the field with their GPS? I'm just curious.
I don't think that.
Now they will.
Okay. I don't think so. They don't necessarily see the heat map. But sometimes after the game, it does look like a smiley face every so often. So
they're wearing GPS and heart monitors while they're playing the game.
Yep, and practice every day.
And practice.
Yep. So we look
at
it.
Beats my Apple Watch.
It does. Yeah, my Apple Watch knows my. Yeah, more. Let's get our steps right now. So basically, at the end of, so every Monday we meet and we see all the data and we look at, like, who's ran more, who's ran less, who's in their desired area of what we call a load, right? So there, we can go into this for hours, but really this helps us get to a peak each week. Okay. So it's kind of, you start at an intensity, you get a little bit lower, and you build back up. Yeah. And so each week when we hit that Saturday game, we're at the peak of the week. And then over the long run, you're building to that peak. So because of all this and because of all the great people that have helped us with, you know, to get this material, this equipment, we can do those things. And we have seen a huge benefit from understanding the science that goes behind the game. And I think that's just a new leap in sports all across the board.
That's pretty cool. So all these games that get, oh, COVID, we can't play this weekend, that really kind of can spin things out of sequence for you? Or do you just time it like you're still going to have a game on Saturday and then just pick it back up on Sunday?
Right. So kind of what we've done in those situations, we've had 2 games canceled this spring so far because of COVID protocols. And so what we do, we just kind of keep rolling along with it, right? So if we were supposed to play a game on Saturday, we'll just do an inter-squad scrimmage that day, maybe a little less time. The intensity's probably down a little bit, but we're still playing as if it's a game, as if it's, you know, competitive and all that. And it quite frankly gives everyone some minutes in that opportunity. So it keeps the rhythm flowing, and we try not to miss a beat. Now, this past week would have been our off week, and we gave them a couple days off just to, you know, go refocus, go get your head away from it, because once we get back into it starting today, we knew it was going to be a long month and a half here to get to the end.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and that I really had no idea you guys were doing that with each player during the game. I mean, that's quite literally – I mean, we don't even do that with football. I mean, obviously, with the number of players that you're dealing with on the field, or even baseball that I'm aware of. So, I mean, that's amazing that you guys are that deep into the data to really kind of see. And then, so you said, you know, the players don't get to see the heat map, but I mean, how much of that data do the players see and do they digest? I mean, is it like watching tape in football? I mean, do they get to see all of their individual records and when they meet with y'all, or is it just something that the coaches actually just digest and then just kind of pass on?
So that's a good question. I think a lot of times, at first, when they first started wearing them, they were a little more interested of like, oh, what am I doing? How fast am I running? All of this. But I think over
time,
like
competition, just, like I ran like, more than you.
Yeah, I'm the fastest person. Of course, everyone wants to be the fastest, right? But I think once they've gotten used to it, they don't really ask as much anymore because I think they realize what we're doing, that it's, you know, just to benefit them. And a lot of it is injury prevention as well. Like you can see, like if they're not recovering, if they're not getting the right rest, you can see it in their heart rate, in things, and we can, you know, tone it back in practice and make sure that they're staying healthy, which is another huge part of how we've been successful is keeping the girls from getting injured. And so the science behind sports in general is just, it's not new, but it's something that's being a lot more focus being put on, and I think it's helping teams that are really buying into it, and we have a lot. And so it's been really exciting to see these charts and everything. And I know it's a tangent from your question, you guys, if the girls want to see it, but basically they did originally, and now not as much because I think they've just have kind of gotten used to it.
Is there anybody else doing this on the campus besides y'all? I mean, that you know of as the boys' soccer?
So there is no men's soccer.
No, there's no men's soccer.
Maybe back in the day when you
were
there.
That was back in the 80s and 90s.
So.
Sorry about that. I went blank. Is there anybody else so
like in track?
Yes. There are a lot of teams that do it. For beach volleyball, does it?
Okay.
You know, there are many teams on campus that are doing this, and I think it's interesting, yeah. And I think you can see the benefit from it across the board. So I think there'll be a lot more teams catching on as they go, and they see how it can apply to their sport specifically. I think that's the hard part, is it's kind of the same, but how do I apply this to what I'm doing? And that's really where it gets interesting. You need to have someone who understands it a lot.
Well, you hear about all the data everywhere now. So I just didn't realize it was on the college level. Not as much as what you just explained. It's pretty crazy to me.
Yeah, right. I know a lot of football. You know, NFL is wearing them for sure. I know that. And they're tracking them in practice. And it might be in their helmet.
Right. Yeah.
We don't wear helmets.
Probably have all seen the Microsoft Surface commercials here in the NFL, right? So then my question is, does the NCAA allow y'all to see that information in real time during the games, or do you have to wait till after the games to actually process that information?
We can see it real time.
Okay.
So you can have an iPad and it can connect. We have a computer right there, and you can, on the sideline, whoever your sports scientist can be there, and it can be like, oh, you know, someone's getting a little tired. It might be time to sub or look differently. And I mean, during, for example, like the starting lineups, right? When they're calling their name out, if you're looking at the iPad, it's kind of funny because they'll get their name and you just see woo spike in their name. They're like, I'm excited, and you just see that. So it's you can see that stuff real time. And you going into a game, we know what their average heart rate will be over a certain speed and all that. So there's a lot going on. And so, but I think The first year, I think as coaches, we probably relied on it more. And now that we've been a part of it for 3 years, we can start to see it. You know, you as a coach, you start to see the trend and how it's working, and you don't need to rely on someone telling you, "Oh, the computer says this." Or like, we are getting used to seeing it for what it is.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question. Like, how much of this is like become the iPad says that Mary needs to come out of the game, and therefore we're going to go ahead and sub versus this is really nice to have, but we're still, you know, relying on what we're seeing as coaches.
Right. I think at the end of the day, coaches are always going to rely on their coaching eye. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why it's our job to make those decisions and see those things. I think the iPad is just an aid to that decision-making process. You know, if they want to hire a robot and just decide who gets subbed out based on what the iPad says, then you're going to get into the whole AI thing, and we don't need to go down that track. But that is, you know, like I said, originally I think we probably put a little more thought into it because it was a new thing for us, just like it was for the girls. But once, as a coach, you start getting used to it, you kind of start to rely on your coaching eye and your gut instinct quite often a lot more.
Well, Mary, even though she's tired, she might still be better than everybody else.
And that can be the truth.
That's, there's no way to pull that punch. I mean,
You're 100% right. We talk about that a lot. Like, hey, they might be really tired, but they're still producing at a level higher than what some other people might be doing. So, you know, it helps when you have someone like Yaz Ryan, who's the sixth player taken overall in the draft on your team. So she tends to stay out there.
Yeah, that's not a player you pull unless she wants to be pulled.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. Correct. And I don't think she's ever going to ask him off the field.
No, so. Never.
No. Yeah, heck no.
Dubber knows. You're never going to ask to be pulled off of the
– No.
No. You're not going to be asked to be pulled off the pitch. So, Ryan.
Oh, well, I
didn't mean to step on you.
Oh, no. I was going to kind of segue into something else, if that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. All right.
Turn
so
on the segue. I know. Turn it. Here we go.
So, earlier we were talking about Micah and NEGU, and that led you to tell me a little bit more about one of the foundations that you've been passionate about, your pretty much your whole adult life, even a little bit in high school, and how it's going to correlate with your the championship in April. Is that when it is?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Let's talk a little bit about that and how we're going to lead up to it and how we're going to support you.
Yeah, so I think we're in the right place to talk about it, right?
I do.
So
I think
one
we
of
are.
One of the first stories I heard about actually when I got to TCU was about Micah, and it hit my heart like straight away. So basically, this is going to be my 15th year. I shave my head every year for a foundation called the St. Baldrick's Foundation, and so it raises money and awareness for childhood cancer research. It's the number one provider of childhood cancer money, research money, other than the government. And even the government, they get the particular amount of money for cancer research, and only about 2% of that goes to childhood cancer research. Mm. And so, gosh, 15 years ago, basically when I started, they were treating a child the same as they were treating an adult. And it's just totally different, you know, different gene makeup and different, you know, different genetics, all of that, right? The way a child gets treated. So St. Baldrick's have put a lot of money into trying to help children-specific research. And that's, we've seen a lot of new drugs and things that have come out of St. Baldrick's. So every year for 15 years, I've been shaving my head. So most people know me as the guy without hair, even though I have some hair today. And generally around this time of the year is when I do it. But like I said, I did it in high school. When I got to Velpo, I started it there. Got lucky enough to be in the NCAA Champion magazine about the work I was doing. Got to Oregon, started it at Oregon. One of the girls on the team wanted to jump on board. I got her on the cover of the magazine just to keep spreading the awareness
did
about.
Did she shave her head too?
She did not,
okay,
but she helped raise like $100,000. So I
Whoa.
Think she did her job.
I'll paint my face. I don't know if I'll shave my head.
I'll shave my hair.
Yeah, let's go for it. Well, I know there's someone here who hasn't.
There.
I know there's someone here who hasn't cut their hair in like almost a year.
A bit over a year now.
And so it could
a little over a year.
This could
at
be
least.
The cause.
Oh my god.
So the St. Baldrick's Foundation is near and dear to my heart. Like I said, I've been a part of it for about half of my life.
Yeah.
And so I'm gonna be doing it here again probably at the end of April, early May. Normally there's an event, and so because of COVID, events have kind of changed and we haven't been able to do it. So I've been doing things virtually. Last year and this year, I'm doing the same thing. I work with Joe Brown. I think we all know Joe Brown.
We know Joe.
So he helps me create a shirt that I've sold, and the profits go straight to St. Baldrick's. People can donate on a St. Baldrick's page, specifically mine, or the website. They can donate this shirt. And it's the crazy thing is I didn't even realize it when I designed this shirt last year, but it almost is identical to the Mica logo. It's literally the Superman logo with an SB. I thought it would be interesting. And ever since I saw it, I was like, I didn't do it on purpose, but the connection is crazy. And,
yeah.
You know, throughout the years of doing it at Velpo, at Oregon, at here, I've met families and children that have been affected. And every time you do it, you're like, man, am I going to shave my head again? And you're like, oh, I don't know. It's coming back a little slower every time. But then you hear the story, and then you hear what they're going through. And I've kind of come to this thing that until no child has to deal with cancer, I'm just going to continue to shave my head because they don't get a choice if they lose their hair or not, and I have that choice. So I'm going to do it to support them. And that's kind of been my call to action, the things that I've done. And, you know, throughout the years, through my events and through my own page specifically, we've probably raised over $200,000 or $300,000. And so it's been exciting to be a part of and, you know, just trying to promote awareness. I know the older you get, it's harder to raise more and more money because you're just going back to the same well over and over again. And so I've really come to, I just need to keep raising the awareness for more people to learn what St. Baldrick's is and what they do for these children. I've seen it save lives. I've talked to family that the research has literally saved their child's lives. So I know how important it is, and it's something I will be a part of for as long. I mean, I've literally worn this green wristband on my wrist for 15 years, basically. So big part of what I do, and I'm hopefully now the TCU community can hear that and get on board as well.
We will definitely support you through that. Just reach out. We'd love to do kind of, I think you said, a 15-day countdown to when they shave your head.
We could shave it right here.
I know. I think we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We'll pick the location. We could do it here, do it in Fort Worth, outside somewhere, whatever.
Maurice is just
on board.
And then
Jennifer is volunteering WC, y'all. If you're watching this,
we can do it together.
His hair is shoulder length.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's get that one more time.
Oh, WC, you're going to do it?
There we go.
We could let
him. I'll do it for a good cause.
We could let him even grow it, and then we could do like a double cause. He could donate it to Locks for Love. And yes.
Somebody
all right,
wanted
awesome.
Some silver locks.
Some silver locks.
That'd
hey,
be nice.
Silver is inside.
There you go.
Oh.
Hey, someone wants
oh,
some silver
that's
locks.
Wonderful.
Exactly,
all right,
really
so Maurice said whether
lock.
It's yeah. virtual
just a little.
Or in person, we're going to do it here from the Mica stage. So that's yay.
Right.
Y'all. And we'll set a goal, and you know the TCU community. Once the word gets out, everybody opens their pockets. So whatever
for
we
sure.
need to do to support you, get those T-shirts sold, put a link up on the Killer Frogs fan forum, and
yeah.
and just keep the word out and generate some good
following. I think
there's a particular
baseball coach we need to talk to as well. I'm sure he'd get up here with me.
Oh, yes.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get him to shave his head. After the baseball season.
Good luck.
A little superstitious about that.
Maybe
his
face.
He wears a hat a lot.
He does. If we give him an apple, maybe he'll do it.
Maybe his face. Maybe his face.
Again, it'll probably have to be after baseball
yeah.
season. Because
so
if he's growing something out now, it's going to be superstitious.
So I'll tell a little story. So I'm very superstitious. And you know how baseball is. They're so superstitious. Well, so Eric Bell, I didn't want to call him. Y'all are having such a great season. I was like, when's their season? We got to get him on as soon as their season's over. And I kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally we had him on. And he said, oh, I'm not superstitious. And I thought, oh, well, okay, next time we'll just have you on in the middle of the season when y'all are undefeated. Because I thought for sure if I called him and then y'all lost, it would be my fault. And so that's how that
yeah.
went.
Who are you claiming was superstitious
I am. I am. But
oh, okay.
I just figured every coach was. But apparently they're not.
Eric is the most unsuperstitious coach, athletic person I've ever met in my life. Like I'm like, man, I've worn this hat every game.
I got.
He goes, Tom, it doesn't matter what hat you wear. It is not going to affect how the girls play. And
it's
I'm
amazing.
Like, but I have to wear the black hat.
Yeah.
So it's been
so true.
I mean, so yes, I'm very superstitious, but Eric is like, what are you doing? Just stop. Like you don't have. He doesn't. So you can literally call him whenever you want. He will.
But I won't call you though. I'll just call
Eric.
I mean, you know.
I will jump on board to support, but I'm going to be nervous. So, just saying.
That's amazing.
So, other than the hat, what other superstitions do you have?
Oh, boy. We might be here for a bit. I mean, I have the same socks I wear for every game. And I don't wear them at practice, only for games.
Wash them between games?
Of course. Okay. I do wash. I'm not sure. unsanitary. COVID.
So he says.
But... But also, I have the same shorts. I wear the same undershirt, the same shirt. I wear the same outfit every single game. I have the same notebook that I take out. I have, you know, the
yeah.
same. It's yes.
Are you
I'm
adding pages to the notebook as you go? Is that
no? It's just this. It's just the same one that has the stuff I need on it.
Oh, okay, got it.
But it's. I mean, back when I was playing, the list It would be like it was a long list. We don't have to go there. We don't want to bore everybody with my superstitious
list.
Do you
have anything like on the field? You know, you'll see like in baseball pitchers that won't step on the line and different things like that. Are there any kind of superstitions with players or coaches regarding the soccer field? Anything like that?
Not that I can think of. I mean, when they freshly paint the field, I don't like to mess it up, but it's not a superstitious. I'm just trying to be respectful of someone's job doing that. But no, I'm sure the girls have superstitions, but it's one of those things, like, when you're a player, you don't really tell people about them.
Oh,
because,
okay.
Like, that almost, like, affects it. Because then people are going to try and mess with you. And you can't have that happen. So I knew once people learned what I did as a player, my teammates trying to mess with me all the time. I'm sure anyone who's played.
Hid your
exactly.
hat a lot? Is that what they were doing?
Back
or was that Coach Bell? Bell was hiding your hat?
Yeah, he was like, stop it. No one cares. I was like, I care. So
it matters to me.
Good. I'm sure, I mean, you all probably have superstition. You probably had a superstition.
Oh, I got a lot, but I gave them all up.
Okay.
No, you didn't.
Says the crowd.
Okay, I gave some of them up.
Got the peanut gallery out there.
Yeah.
I'm very superstitious, so I appreciate that. Yeah. And I believe that I've helped TCU win with my superstition.
The only reason we beat West Virginia, the football team, several years back when we were away and it was snowing cold is because I would not let my mom come back out of the utility room for the rest of the game. And we won, and that is why.
So then do you put her there for every game?
Just that game, thankfully. I did let her come out after, you know, the second half, after it was over.
She didn't
get to see the second half.
Utility room?
It was. She went outside to the garage to do something.
And then you locked her out?
And then we had this awesome... No, I didn't even have to lock the door. She knew. She knew I was serious. She stayed there. I got the superstition from her as well. But seriously, we threw this, you know, what do you call it? The
Hail Mary
passes. Yeah. And caught it and made a touchdown. And then after that, I was like, okay.
Was this a 2-point conversion game?
Yes. The very last second. Yeah. And it was so cold. And I mean, we have 8-foot ceilings in my parents' living room, and I swear I almost hit my head on the ceiling. We were jumping up and high so much. It was so fun.
I might
fun.
Recruit you as a goalkeeper if you're jumping that high.
I know, yeah. Right? Only not anymore. So she had to stay there, but she did it gladly. She's crazy nut like me, so she happily stayed in the utility room. We DVR'd it. She could go back and watch.
I was just wondering, like, to make sure that you didn't, like, install a TV in the utility room. No. She's got, like, her own chair now. Like, that's her place. Like, you just, like, put her there. And
cooler.
Said,
not a bad idea,
leave.
Actually, yeah. But, yeah, no.
It's mom's little viewing area.
Right?
Yeah.
Me and Hunter just have the indoor-outdoor. I mean, 2 TVs going. Walk outside, start doing bad, back inside. We have been known not to watch the same football game, but not the same room. Mm. Whole game.
That's good.
Because you can't, if it's going good, you can't mess that vibe up.
Yeah, there's been times when you're like watching a game, you're like, I really have to pee, but I'm not getting up.
Well, I agree with that.
I'm not getting up, and the couch has survived. Don't worry.
I agree with that.
So, but you hold that until it's time. So
I've had my wife walk out of the room, and she couldn't come back.
See?
Because we were doing terrible. They walk out of the room, boy, we start playing good. I'm like, No. You stay back there right now until something happens.
Other side of the threshold.
Warrants, you just stay. Well, get a little lead. I'm like, all right, come on back. Oh, wait. We just fumbled. Get back. Go.
I'll admit, I did this yesterday. So I was watching the Rangers with my dad. And we were up like 8-3. And next thing I know, the Cubs come back and tie up the game. I'm like, oh, nope, got to turn this off. Sure enough, a couple minutes later, Rangers win 12-8.
Good. That's good for you.
So, you know
awesome.
What? You're the reason. Contributed a little bit.
I think so. I mean.
But, I think we're all kind of.
Yeah, well, I'm a White Sox fan, so I'm really glad you turned it off so they could beat the Cubs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Glad to be of help. So, I think we're all just a little superstitious, which is why it kind of took us aback when Coach Bell was like, I don't believe in that at all.
It's really not at all.
I thought he was joking. I thought he was being totally just deadpan sarcastic, but. He was deadly serious.
100%. If anyone says something about it, like in the office for the game, he's just like, it doesn't matter. And we're all like, it does. It really does.
I'd love to see him and Patterson have a conversation about that.
Yeah. And Patterson could show him how to tie his shoelace.
Purple shirt, black shirt. Yes.
Tie his shoe. Yes.
Hitch his pants.
Wardrobe.
Tie his shoes.
Wardrobe change
call
at
the
halftime.
Towel girl
wardrobe
over.
Change at halftime.
I promise Eric does not bring an extra polo for the staff locker room for halftime.
No.
I promise.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't do a chromatic change at half or anything like that.
No, nothing. I wish I had something, but just no. I have nothing.
He's very level-headed. how boring. It's too bad.
Well, maybe it needs to go the other direction. Maybe Coach Bell needs to teach Coach Patterson not to be so superstitious. Right. Maybe that's how this needs to work.
Everybody's been pretty successful at what they're doing, so we'll just let them all have.
There's a superstition right there. Right there.
That's what that
there
is.
There it is. There it is. Right.
Don't change a thing.
Don't change a whole lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are so blessed to at TCU to have such an amazing group of coaches. And you and Coach Bell are definitely a part of that. And as the fans, it's so nice when you're able to interface with the coaching staff, and you're able to kind of pick their brain every now and then. But you and Coach Bell have such an amazing group of girls that you guys are coaching, and we are all very proud of everything that they have accomplished. And as I said before, when I was talking about the bubble. It was one of those things during the football season when we were kind of hearing from Mark Cohen, actually, all the things that you guys were doing, and you mentioned sacrifice, but I think that kind of underplays everything that they were doing, because at the time, all of the players across all the sports were quote, sacrificing, but it seemed like y'all's team took it to the next level. Like, you guys realize that if you're going to come together as a team and succeed in the goals that you want to do in the season, you guys really needed to hunker down and really do things the right way. And it was so refreshing to see a group come together like that and not be selfish, because you said this is the time of their lives, right? I mean, we were all in college, and we all remember what it was like to be in college. But to see what they sacrificed was just – It was really, really nice to see. But I think that, and I told this to Coach Bell as well, I think a lot of that has to deal with what the coaching staff did. But it's like, no, it was all the players. So how do you feel with this group that you have right now? Have you seen a group this tight-knit before? I mean, because it seems like this is a really tight-knit group.
Yeah. Well, first off, thank you for the kind words in terms of the coaching staff. I think you need to add Ryan Higginbotham into that as well. Obviously, he's been there as long as Eric, and they're like two peas in a pod. They've been together. They work really well together. And I've tried to become that third pea in that pod, and you have Trisha as well. The whole staff collectively, right? You have our director of ops, Hannah Grant, right? So it all collectively is there. But the girls over this time, they've built a culture that is truly special. And it gets built over time. It's not something that just starts – oh, COVID happened, we're gonna do this. No, it had to have been built over years and years and years. And when you have a senior leadership who kind of comes together and says, well, this is what we want out of the year, and everyone buys in to that. And a lot of times we have to understand is, if you're that player who throughout the time, you're a senior, you haven't really done anything for the team, right? Then all of a sudden you're a senior, like, do it for me. People are like, you haven't done anything for me over your I'm not just going to do it for you now. So you have to build that credibility over time. And our seniors and our team, they love each other. They help each other with life events, with everything. I need a ride. I need this. I need that. To where when it's, hey, let's do this for each other. It's not do it for me. Let's do it for each other. That's the culture, right? And that's when I don't want to let you down. You don't want to let me down. I don't want to be the person that ruins this for anybody. It's not a don't ruin it for the seniors. Don't ruin it for anybody. And so they built that culture together. And so coming to your question is, have I seen a team this tight-knit? I mean, everyone likes to think they're that tight-knit, right? Like, everyone says, oh, we're a family, we love each other, and it's great. But it's when something like a pandemic happens that really shows, is this a family or a family, right? Like, everyone wants to throw that word around. But I think the girls have shown from their culture and their love for each other that they are a tight-knit group that really care about each other, and not just about what goes on the soccer field, but what's happening in their lives. And that's what makes it tight-knit, and when you're willing to do the sacrifices for the people because you have the true relationship investment in them. And that's a testament to, sure, the staff of finding people that want to be a part of that, but they have to really do it themselves. We only get to see them for a couple hours a day. They're doing it outside in the classroom and hanging out, and maybe not hanging out this year, but in general, that's where all that stuff gets built. And so I really think the girls on the team, they did a lot. They went above and beyond the call of duty that any student athlete will ever be called to do. And maybe at the time it felt like a sacrifice, and I hope years down the line these are going to be the stories that they're going to be sitting in their rocker saying, back when I was in college, this you won't believe what we did. But then they're going to have that ring on their hand that says, but I got this. And I think that's what's kind of – it's going to be a good memory. So it's a culture that I hope that they've learned here and they take it into their families, into their lives.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, that's – it's when you start looking at all the sports and every – you know, we see it in baseball, we saw it in football, saw it in basketball – we see it now in the tournament, the COVID, how it affects everybody. And I hate even saying it because I'm superstitious.
Here we go.
But
there's a lot of wooden tables.
But for them to have any cases in the you know, stay away
the entire
from that,
season.
It's just, I mean, it is. It's hard. To, I mean, you can tell the dedication that they had to make that happen.
Right. And I think one thing to point out, too, is people look at it like, man, this team did – they did this, they didn't get a case, what happened, you know, they never got one, and they've done it better than everyone. I think the girls were committed to it, but it's not that the other teams didn't do it well. I mean, we've all seen, and it's so easy to get, right, and it spreads at an instant. Some could say we got
one person, though, and then it
right.
just
Some could say you got a little lucky, too, right? I mean, I don't – what I've always said is we never want to be mad at another team or something if a game gets canceled, because it could happen to us as quickly as it's happened to them, right? And we've just been in the situation where it hasn't, and we – based on everything they've done, I don't think it's going to happen, and hopefully not. But it's – to me, I just have to remember that it's not a knock on anyone else.
No.
I think it's just to show that we have done it, and it's been good. And people have come to us and said, how did you do this? Let's learn from you. And that's been kind of cool as well.
Yeah, and there definitely seemed a lot of, you know, accountability within the players themselves. Like you were talking about, this is a culture that you guys, that the team themselves actually created. It's not necessarily a top-down kind of thing. It's a bottom-up. And those are the kind of teams that we see continually at TCU. So it from the fans, it almost like becomes, what is special about TCU and where we've got teams that come in and we've got coaching staffs that, and maybe it's just the culture at TCU itself. Can you talk a little bit about that? Have you seen something in the culture at TCU? I mean, you've been to a couple other places, but is there something about the culture here at TCU that seems to breed that?
That's, I think you're hitting it spot on. I think, I don't even know if I have to explain much more about that, but you're right. It is, the culture at TCU is very much a, we're gonna help each other out. We're going to, you know, pass along best practices and all of that. It's a very, you know, everyone wants to help each other out. It's not a, we're going to keep the secret to ourselves and not tell anybody. And to be fair to the athletic department, they did a really good job of where they housed all of the staff. Like, we're all in close proximity. So it's like, all right, well, beach volleyball is doing really well. Let's go ask them a question. Or, man, men's tennis, like, I got to go ask them, like, what are they doing? How is this working out? Or people come to ask us, like, what have you been doing? So it's, you're in an office space where people are allowed to walk around and interact, and the door isn't closed on anyone. You can go have those conversations, and it's, I mean, it's not expected, but it's 100% okay to just stop on in whenever you want, ask questions, and people are just bouncing these ideas around. And it's when that is the culture of the TCU community, I think that probably happens within classrooms and with professors and research as well, is that's just what's been built over time, and we just fall in line with that. And so I think it's a special place where you don't have a coach. You're at this field, you're at this field, you're at this field, and you never see anybody. Like, you're bouncing ideas off all the time. And I think that's a really big part of why you see the success at TCU right now with a lot of sports. Very successful, ranked in the top 25, winning these big-time games, winning championships. It's a very, very exciting time to be a Horned Frog, that's for sure.
Amen. Well, I think we'll leave it there for the night, unless – am I missing anything?
No, not at all. I think we want to touch a little bit on baseball and then the spring game on the date. But and wish y'all so
game.
Much, I guess, I don't know, luck. We're not super, trying not to be superstitious, but, you know, you have three big games left and wish y'all the best of luck. And then also in the final
in
championship
the tournament.
Game. Yeah, yeah. So we'll be following you even though we can't be sitting in the stands.
We'll be rooting for you, and we won't be changing any of our underwear while you guys are in the tournament. So,
well, I thank you for inviting me here, but until you change the anywhere, don't invite me back. So I do appreciate that, but I do appreciate you all coming, you know, talking about the soccer team, hyping us up, and letting everyone know we're there. We're excited. We're going to be on this weekend. We're on ESPN Plus, 5 o'clock against Oklahoma State, so people can tune in there. Talk a little bit earlier if they want to learn where to stand. There's a nice gate around the field, and it's big openings. You can see the field pretty well, and so if you bring a chair, bring a cooler, you know, whatever you want to bring to enjoy the soccer game. That's allowed when you're on the other side of the fence. So there are some pros as well.
There are some benefits to that. It's
definitely a benefit.
Oh, that's a great idea. In fact, we'll have to do that. That sounds fun. Weather's so nice these days. All right, well, stick around, and we're going to finish up with some spring football announcements.
Yeah, baseball.
And baseball.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about baseball first. First conference series this weekend, we swept Baylor.
Let's talk about those scores. I mean, they're not even baseball scores.
The first game
was
a 3-1 game.
Yeah.
The next two games were blowouts. What? I mean, we just
11-0 and then 11-1. Did I remember that correctly?
10-1, wasn't it?
10-1, 11-2.
Okay,
they scored two in the ninth inning.
In chump time.
But so 10-1, 11-2, and you know what? You talk about, you know, I know they've had some COVID issues. I mean. Yeah. The funny thing is, you don't know what's COVID and what's not, and because it seems like everybody they plug in, I don't know how he's going to make some decisions, because the people he's plugged in are playing extremely well right now.
Yeah, and they've had a few injuries, too.
The freshman at third base, the Taylor kid, mm-hmm. and he's been unbelievable. You know, Porter Brown's come back out in the outfield. Mm-hmm. He's played extremely well. I mean, his bat average was almost 400. I mean, it just kept climbing. I mean, so I know that some of that has to do with COVID, but at the same time, you know, he's been excited about this baseball team. You know, he kind of told us he was.
Oh, yeah.
And I can see why. Because then, you know, when you start looking at our pitching, Johnny Ray was our Sunday pitcher, and I mean, he was great. Well, yeah. Other two pitchers were awesome. We got depth in the pitching. I mean, yeah, I think he actually pulled Johnny out just to get some more pitching in.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, that bullpen is very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one inning here, one inning there. So, you know, I expect big things out of baseball. I'm kind of bought in again. You know, the last couple of years till this year, it just seemed like we lost a little grit. Now, maybe not talent, but grit. Mm-hmm. They got the grit back.
I agree with that.
You got to have a couple of players that, you know, that you just tell they love it. They're kind of like dirtbag, old-school baseball players.
The team has a lot of personality, I've noticed.
Yes.
It's fun watching the pitchers in the outfield.
Yeah, I mean, and they have brought that back, mm-hmm. and I think that's a lot of their success.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. I mean, and so I'm excited about baseball, you know. I mean, I think, you know, Baylor, I mean, I expect them to be a little better than what they were. I mean, you know. And maybe we're just that much – maybe we're starting to slowly – because right before that, we went through a little stretch where
– yeah, it was a little up and down there.
Up and down, that's
but,
right.
You know, at the beginning of the season like that, there are going to be some stumbles, especially with baseball, until you figure out what your rotation is going to be like and, you know, who's on first and those kind of things. But, yeah, I agree. I think Coach was – he didn't really want to show that much excitement when he was here, you know, the last month. But you can kind of tell he was really looking forward to what this group can do when they get out there on the diamond. And I agree with you on the grit, because, you know, if you go back to our run in the College World Series, that's the one word I would have used to describe those teams was grit.
Yep. You always had one or two that were really your catalyst. And we just lost that for a couple of years.
Yeah, Scout, Bachock.
They lose the talent, just lost the grit a little bit.
Just a little bit. But I think you're right. I think they've got that swagger back.
Yeah.
And while TCU – while they still have a lot of the seating zip tied, bring your scissors. No, just kidding. Totally not do that. Don't do that, even though we've thought about it.
Or knife.
But it's so maddening. But they do have outfield GA tickets. So, and that baseball field, if you've never been, I mean, it's great. And especially if you have kids, bring them all and let them run around while and catch foul balls. And while you're watching the game, they serve beer. You can have a beer. But, yeah, go ahead. Don't be – it's not like soccer and some of the other sports right now where they're completely closed. They are open. They just aren't allowing limited space in the stands, but plenty of room in the outfield. So I encourage you to come out there. It won't break the bank. Everything's pretty it's not very expensive to come to a game, I guess.
$10
or something for a GA ticket. Oh, yeah. Taco Tuesdays, dollar hot dog Sundays, so
it's all good. There you go. $10 for kids, $15 for adults. So get your tickets at gofrogs.com. There's your ad plug. So spring game.
You know, I've been trying to keep up with it with COVID. It's hard, you know, it's hard with Patterson anyway. You know, getting
any
information
out
of what's happening with spring ball, but I know that the offense is a lot further ahead than the defense. Of course, their defense has a lot of injuries, but offense is supposedly looking, you know, really well. The wide receivers are who I'm excited about a lot of the stuff. But you know, we got some wide receivers this year that are. We had some last year, but we're really going to have two or three more kids that are really going to help.
Yeah.
Max and the offensive line. You know, I was critical of that they.
No.
Yeah. Well, but at the end of the year, I said they did. They really did. They really put it together. And hopefully they can stay healthy and stuff like that. But
that was probably one of the surprises
last season
was the offensive line. Yeah. How they came together, yep. Especially with the injuries that they had to go through.
I wouldn't have thought they were played as well as they did by the end of the year. They played really well by the end of the year, like you said. But it's funny because there's one of the kids, I can't think of his name now, but he's a senior. He never got his chance. Finally got his chance, and then when he got out there, they couldn't. And he never gave the job back again because he played that well that it just, you know, when it's your time, you get your chance, and that kid made
the most of it.
And it's funny because he got hurt, and I'll never forget that. I was watching him. He's on hurt. The guy ran out to replace him, and he pushed the guy and said, "I'm not coming out," and pushed him right back, and he finally had his chance, you know, and so. Yeah, I'm excited about the football team, too. I mean, I think that we have a lot of, you know, the defense is going to be the big question, which is the funny part of it.
Yeah, that's usually not the case.
Yeah, and so.
Especially the last couple of years.
But, you know, Patterson usually pretty good about putting a defense together. But I think we might have an offense good enough to hold us in there for a while the defense is matured and stuff. The biggest problem, I think, is going to be a blessing and a curse all in the same.
Running backs?
Is running backs.
Yeah.
We have so many good running backs, but there's only one spot for a running back, I mean a tailback.
I don't know why we just don't go back to the wishbone. I mean, honestly, with the amount of running backs that we've got.
Or
at least some sort of weird spread air raid wishbone modification or something that those offensive wizards can come up with. I don't know.
Well, the crazy part, if you do that, you pull out your 6'3", your 6'4", wide receivers, 6'2". I mean, we got some wide receivers.
Tight end.
Patterson figured out that, I really believe this, they figured out that playing Iowa State and even Texas, big, tall wide receivers that could jump up and catch it.
It's amazing what that will do to your offense, isn't it?
Hey, we got Johnson. I mean, you know – at the end of the year, Max figured out, hey, I'm going to throw the ball to him. I'll throw it up high, and it's not a 50-50 ball with him. It's
no,
more
like
70-30. He's got a chance to catch it. And probably 80-20 that if he don't catch it, it's going to be incomplete. And so I like our attitude there as far as all that. I mean, and so I'm excited about it. But the spring game is in 2 weeks.
We hope.
I don't even know if they're having people out there. I haven't heard yet. Has anybody heard if they're
– No.
Yeah, they would
they
be.
They are?
Yeah, since they're advertising it, that would just be mean.
Okay.
To advertise it and not let us come.
It was like they just pulled
well, you're
the
not
going to
see anything really. But, hey, I mean, you get to see players run around, but it's not like he's going to show you anything. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's a glorified practice. That's all it is.
But it's fun.
They
we
call
love
it scrimmage. But it is. You get to see all the athletes and stuff. And we definitely have some athletes.
It's good to go out and support the team.
Yeah.
Especially after the last season. I mean, I'm sure, you know, even with soccer, you guys want the fans there, obviously. This is not something that the players want. It's but hopefully that will start to ease up over the next couple of months. And I wish it was eased up right now because it would be nice. Even though the coolers are a good benefit to be on the other side of the fence, it would be nice to actually have fans there and filled up and rooting for the team. So it's going
to
be interesting.
Soccer needs to go talk to tennis. Because tennis, you need to figure out how they do.
Yeah.
Because apparently they don't have any problem with the coolers being inside or outside.
That's beyond me. That's beyond me. I'll talk to other people about that.
His pay grade.
We'll help you out on that. We'll figure it out.
That's just what I've heard. I'm not even sure of that, but that's, you know.
I got no comment.
Well,
it would be fun.
I think with that, I think we're done for the night. I want to thank, of course, Coach Ceratori very much. Thank you very much for being here tonight. Really appreciate it. Some fantastic information that I don't think any of us really knew about the soccer program. And of course, we will be rooting for y'all come next month in the tournament and bring back a championship.
We'll be there to help shave your head.
Perfect. No pressure, and yes.
Yes.
No, we'll be ready. Like I said, appreciate you all having us, and, you know, TCU Soccer is always ready to be here, and we appreciate you talking us up, and, you know, I'm sure all the other sports appreciate it as well, so you all do a great job, and more people need to tune in and watch this and listen to it and get to see what's going on. Come down here and have apparently some fantastic pastries, so here we go.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if you haven't had any pastries.
Cheesecake.
The Schlossinator.
Of course. Cheesecake.
Yeah, so apparently I'm getting one of these, so I'm excited.
We're sending one home.
There you go. So thank you again for everybody who's watching us out tonight. Of course, you can find Killer Frogs online at killerfrogs.com. We're, of course, across all the major social media networks. And it's the time of the podcast where we all get our frogs up, and we get to say,
Go Frogs! Frogs.
Free Chandler Morris.
Free Chandler Morris.
Free Chandler Morris.